What's your Everest? You know, the highest mountain on earth, a metaphor for a goal that is so big that it scares you to even speak it out loud. That goal that takes more than a season, a year, or maybe takes a lifetime to even accomplish. I'm Colleen Roux, the voice of the mountain and your host as we meet inspiring individuals who know what it's like to set big goals and how to accomplish them. Welcome to My Everest, a 29029 podcast. In 2019, I stepped off my flight to Albany, New York, on my way to the 29029 event at Stratton Mountain. As I made my way down to baggage claim, I didn't realize, but there were two sets of eyes who were following my gray 29029 hoodie down the escalator. The owners of those eyeballs, they found some courage and asked me if I was Colleen and introduced themselves as Joe Curtin and Mario Minnert. At that moment, a friendship was forged. A selfie was taken, and the first of many jokes about Mario's choice in luggage, I mean, it was a full-fledged lady bag you've seen your grandma using, began. I watched Joe and Mario conquer their Everest at Stratton that year, and then watched Mario take the mountain and continue to climb. Whether with his coaching business, his new podcast, or the 100-mile race he would go on to complete, the lessons of the mountain went with Mario. They flew back home with him. And they should remain with us too.
It's just a small step executed multiple times to a boringly consistent approach. That's what will eventually get you to that red hat, whatever that red hat is that you're going after.
The powerful experiences that 29029 creates for participants, volunteers, and even spectators is one that can help propel us up the next mountain. Because we all know there are always more mountains to climb.
Whenever you challenge yourself in a situation like this, if it's an Everesting event or if it's something else, when you are at your lowest moment and you try and focus on the people around you and try and encourage them, or if somebody encourages you, it gives you this boost of energy that you didn't think that you had on your own. In those moments when I was really struggling, just connecting with another person, even if it's just a simple like, hey, you got this, or if it's like a fist bump or something small like that, those are the moments when it's needed the most. And that actually gives you that boost and that energy to keep going.
It's hard to imagine if we were to do 29029 alone, how different it would be if like the mountain was empty. And that was just your challenge to do. And some people did that back in 2020 when we did the virtual. But how different would that be if we didn't have those connections? Because you're right, that fist bump, that moment that you have with that person, even if it's just passing them in kind words or exchanged, that can be the difference between finishing that lap and not finishing that lap.
Yeah, I think the fact that you're going through such a difficult challenge with a lot of times complete strangers, it's crazy how quickly you bond with people like that versus doing something on your own. And there is just a secret sauce and something really special that happens when you are taking on a challenge together and you're doing that in a way where it's not me versus you. This is both of us trying to go after our own goals collectively. And that to me is really the one of the most special parts about Everesting is the community behind it and how quickly you can connect with somebody in a situation like that.
And what's interesting about your experience, Mario, is you came back in 2022 as a volunteer. So you've actually been on both sides. So talk through the connection that you had as a volunteer versus that connection that was formed as a participant. Like, what was different? What was the same?
Well, looking back at my Everesting experience as a participant, some of the closest relationships that I had were with volunteers at that event. That's when I first got introduced to the 5 a.m. dance party of Matt Scaletti. I also connected with Kim and Anne and a bunch of other awesome volunteers. And they had told me that they were previous participants and they were volunteering and they had more fun volunteering and they had a better experience volunteering than actually being a participant. And at the time I was like, there's absolutely no way that that's true. Because as a participant, you are just so in the moment and you're challenging yourself and you're growing and you're doing that with a group of people that is honestly one of the best feelings, to pour yourself and pour your heart and soul into something. And so I just thought, there's no way that that could be true. But then when the opportunity presented itself for me to be a volunteer at that event, I wanted to see what that experience is, what that experience was like on the other side. And so I showed up to Snow Basin as a volunteer, and very quickly I realized how much fun it is to be a volunteer, because you are able to build relationships with the people that are on the mountain, and you see them so many different times from the 13 ascents at Snow Basin, that you can see the growth in each participant. You can see where they're doing extremely well, and you can be there for them in those low moments. And so for me, I had the same experience where I actually had more fun as a volunteer than an actual participant. And I just saw the event from a completely different perspective. And I'm sure that this is something that you see all the time, of just seeing somebody put their heart and soul into something and being able to almost be watching that from the outside. Like, is that kind of your experience from being at the Ascent Board?
Yeah, I think you guys are keying in on exactly what my position is on the mountain and my quote unquote job is on the mountain, and why it's the best job ever. Because I have 250-ish people who I get to watch grow and change and move and struggle and succeed over the course of 36 hours. And it's almost like seeing a child grow up. It's really, really interesting, because some people come and they're quiet and they're reserved, and you get to know them over those 36 hours and they start breaking out of their shells. There's other people who come in like a bull in the china shop, ready to go and take on the mountain, and you watch them struggle in different places. And as a person who gets to watch that happen, it's so impactful for me, because it's things that I can take even into my own life and be like, oh, I watched what Mario did and Joe did during that rainstorm and how they handled it and how they were able to manage that. Or I was inspired by Kim when I saw her go back up the mountain when she didn't have to go back up the mountain. And there's so many stories like that. To have that front row seat is truly just so inspiring, to watch people do that. And it just gives you a different feel. And I'm an athlete too. Of course, I'd love to be on the mountain. I'd love to be grinding it out and seeing what you can do for yourself. But as you volunteer, it kind of gives you that perspective of how the community is so integral to what 29029 is.
Yeah. And I think it's a really special opportunity to be able to support somebody through such an important experience in their life. Because just like I have had this life-changing experience on the mountain, so many people are going to look back on this day as one of the best days of their lives because they put their heart and soul into it. And so to be able to support somebody through such a life-changing experience, that's something that I'm very grateful for. And it's a really special opportunity to have that space and to have that to support somebody on their most important day.
Yeah, it does forge bonds for life. You're right. It just, there's this welded bond that you will always have for people that you are with on the mountain, whether you're a participant or you're a volunteer or you're a staff member. There is something that happens there that just bonds you together through that experience, because it is so pivotal. And so many people have these pivotal experiences while they're climbing. And I don't think anybody can say that they've left the mountain without a lesson or without something that they discovered about themselves or were inspired from something that they saw on the mountain. And then you go home. And so here you are, Mario, almost 2 years from, you know, a year and a half from you being on the mountain yourself. How did you take all these lessons that you learn through training and on the mountain, and then move them forward in your life so that you still have the mountain. You're still taking the mountain with you.
I love this part of the process because really the purpose of an Everesting event is to challenge you so hard to where you become a different type of person in the process. And I think what's really important after having an Everesting experience is to take some time to reflect and ask yourself a few questions. What did I learn by training for Everesting and by competing in it? What did I learn about myself? And then how can I apply what I've learned to other areas of my life, if that's your business or if that's your relationships? And I think just having some time to actually reflect on those questions will result in you being more aware of the lessons that you learned and the transformation that you went through, and you'll be better positioned to apply those lessons to your life. And so I think one thing is just asking yourself those questions. Another thing is writing them down, and also trying to have a physical object or a reminder of those lessons. I think the perfect example of that is with the red hat. If you earned a red hat, or just a piece of the ascent board, that's a perfect physical reminder of those lessons. But as much as you can, trying to take those lessons and then really start to think about how can you integrate them into other areas, if that's a physical area, or if that's more of a mental area that you want to apply it to. I think that that's really the secret sauce that a lot of people maybe don't think about when they first sign up for an event or even participate in it. That reflection can result in so many different lessons learned and applications to every area of your life.
It's interesting to watch the community kind of talk after an event happens. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to process what happened on the mountain and how it all unfolded. Because I think sometimes, and I've had this happen in my life, where you wake up on Sunday morning and you're like, what happened? What did I just do? You know, you're not even sure what you just accomplished. And so it takes a little time. So I like how you're saying, you know, give it some time to reflect and write down what you've experienced, because we do such a disservice to our experience if we just treated it like an event, you know, because there's a difference, right, between experience and event.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because an event is something that you just do once. But an experience is something that you live through. And Everesting is an experience. From the time that you first hear about the event, there are probably going to be some thoughts that will come up, and maybe some self-doubt. And there's almost certainly going to be doubt along the way in training for that. And then actually completing the event and then reflecting on it and learning from it. That's an experience. That's something that you live through and you learn about. And the cool thing about the Everesting experience is that you are reminded of it every time you see other people take on the mountain, because you think about your own experience every year at that time. Every year in October, when I see people going to Stratton, I am reminded of that experience that I had. And every time I see a red hat, or every time I wear the most comfortable hoodie that I own, the Everesting hoodie, I'm reminded of those lessons that I learned on the mountain. And that is really a beautiful thing about it, when you treat it like an experience and you treat it like something that you actually live through.
We always talk about how you come out of the mountain a 2.0 version of yourself, and it really is so true. And sometimes I feel like people are like, oh, this is so cliche. All these Everesting people keep talking about all this change. But it's so true, because once I see what I'm capable in this physical realm, that can translate in other places that maybe even aren't physical in my life.
I think that's a great point, because as somebody who is an athlete, or somebody who is an achiever, somebody who is drawn to an event like this, a lot of times you can fall into this trap of always going bigger, always going longer, always just seeking that next big challenge. But it doesn't need to be a physical challenge. Once you go through the Everesting training process and the Everesting experience, it really teaches you that you are more capable than you think. And it gives you a framework or a blueprint for going after really big goals. It starts by signing up and committing, putting a training plan and being consistent with that, and trying to focus as much as you can on the progress that you're making along the way. And when you treat that framework as a way to go after any big goal, it opens up so many different possibilities for you. So for example, my experiences by competing in endurance events, I realized that I can really do anything that I set my mind to. If I sign up for a goal, if I'm consistent, if I try and focus on as much as I can, it has given me the ability and it's given me the confidence to start my own podcast. Whereas before I did endurance events, I'm not sure I really believed I was capable enough to do that. So the Everesting event and experience, it opens up possibilities for you in other areas of your life. And I've seen that from other participants as well, of people deciding after an Everesting event that they want to go and write a book, or they want to try and go after something else. And I think that that's a really special part of it, because that's how you actually integrate what you've learned into your everyday life.
I like your experience with your podcast, because if we can break down these big things, like you said, so you sign up for 29 or 29, well, you decide to do a podcast, you give it a name, and then you start your daily training for the 29 or 29 event. And every day you're doing something, but it starts small. You don't start out with a 20-hour day. You start out with a 10, 20 minute day, and you're doing something small. And it's like in your podcast world, okay, I make sure that I have all my equipment right. And then I'm going to just lay down one episode and I'm just going to put it out there. And maybe nobody listens to it, but I did the first day. And then just like a training plan. And I like how those kind of work parallel to each other, because we forget about that sometimes with the hard things in life, whether it's parenting or our business. We always see that red hat. We see the end. We see the finish line. And we forget that if we just break it down into those small steps, kind of going back to where you heard the kickoff speech, you're all excited, you're ready to go. Okay, now we just have to walk and we just have to take a step. And the next step might be a little bit harder than the step before, but that's okay. We're just going to put one step in front of the other, and then it will all accumulate to the red hat eventually.
That's a great point, because it is that exact same concept of just take the next step. It's just a small step executed multiple times to a boringly consistent approach. That's what will eventually get you to that red hat, whatever that red hat is that you're going after. And I think another thing where the connection applies from an Everesting event to a goal like podcasting or writing a book or anything else is the element of community. You don't need to take those steps on your own. And I would encourage you to join a group of people who are going after the same mission that you're going after, because just like in the Everesting event, when you are struggling to take that next step, when you are hurting, when you are doubting, if you're able to connect with another human, another person that's on that same journey, it's going to give you that boost to keep going. And the other side of it is true, is that you can be that person and that boost for someone else. And I think that there's so much value in thinking about the process of training for Everesting and applying that to any big goal that you go after.
We can put it into practice wherever we are at with whatever goal it is. And it is so simple. We get so caught up in making things so difficult. sometimes. We see the end result. I'm sure when you started your podcast, you're like, okay, how am I going to get a million listens? It's like, no, we can't get a million listens yet. Let's just get one listen, right?
Oh yeah. Let's just record one episode. You know, like let's just get it out there and let's improve on what exists 100%.
Don't lose the forest for the trees. Like just stay in those moments and they will add up. You took your 29 of 29 experiences and you trained for your very first 100-mile event. And not everybody has to do a 100-miler. Maybe your 100-miler looks like learning to play the guitar or something like that. But you decided to take it to that next level. And were you able to apply those things? How did that work for you?
100%. It's the exact same process. And 4 years ago, when I thought about doing a 100-mile ultra marathon, a friend had asked me if I would ever do one. And I said, absolutely not. I could never do that. Find myself 4 years later, signing up for that race and actually completing it in 22 hours and 30 minutes. And it's really because of the lessons that I learned from training for Everesting and the confidence that I developed in pursuing that big goal. And it's really the exact same process. You sign up, you commit, you start to find a group of people who have done that event before that can help you with a training plan, that can help you avoid those first time mistakes. And then it becomes trying to be as consistent as you possibly can, taking that next step on the mountain, continuing to be consistent, taking breaks along the way, just like you do at an aid station on the mountain. Trying to be as much as you can a part of a community of people that are going after it. And so that exact same process applies to other big endurance events. And it also applies to whatever it is that you're going after. Like you said, if that's trying to be the best mother that you can be, the best father, trying to be whatever it is that you're going after, it's the exact same process that you can apply everywhere.
I find it so interesting that endurance sports or physical type challenges lead us in other paths. It's just interesting how when we put ourselves in that spot to struggle physically, we learn so much that can apply across the board. It's a special thing about these physical challenges.
Yeah, and I think one other thing that really surprises you when you challenge yourself so hard and you put your heart and soul into something is the amount of gratitude that you experience along the way and the gratitude that you experience after being successful at that challenge, because you're broken down to such a degree where you are just challenged so much mentally and physically and emotionally that you're really just stripped to your core. And at the end of that, it really is, you're just full of this gratitude and you're full of love for everybody that has helped you get to where you are. All of the volunteers, all of the participants, all of the decisions that you made to put yourself in that situation. And I think that that's one thing that surprises a lot of people. And it kind of has surprised me as I've gone after bigger goals and challenges is, you think of this endurance thing as like this hard, gritty, challenging thing. But once you get to that point when you're so low and you're so challenged, you're actually filled in a lot of ways with love and with gratitude. And that is like a beautiful thing to experience on the mountain or really through any challenge. One of the best parts of the Everesting experience is that last hour on the mountain, and people that have finished and other volunteers are all at the top of the mountain. And that's when the true display of grit is most present in the Everesting participants. And that's usually where this outpouring of love and gratitude comes up. It's one of the best things to be a part of as a participant or as a volunteer. And it's just an amazing thing to witness. And I think that that's almost why the volunteer experience is so special and it's so unique from the participant experience, because I've had both. You get multiple experiences like that where you're just pouring your heart and soul into somebody else, helping them achieve their goal, encouraging them, supporting them, putting salty britches on their broken toenails. Like, you're literally doing anything that you can to help them get up the mountain and experience that gratitude and that joy. And so I think that that's almost why the volunteer experience is so special and so unique from a participant as well.
Well, and I think it's so special because you were a participant, because you know what it felt like to have those moments, those low moments, and need someone to put the salty britches on your stinky feet that you're embarrassed that someone's even touching, or you needed somebody to put a hand on your back and say, let's go, I'm coming with you. Because when we have those experiences of that need, and then we're able to fulfill that need, knowing how that person feels, I think that's what makes our alumni volunteer experience so, so unique.
You are 100% correct. Because I think the other part of it is knowing that you are a participant, you've had that experience, you've left the mountain transformed, and you know how powerful the lessons that you learn on the mountain really are in your everyday life. And so to help somebody get to that moment of earning that red hat or getting that next ascent and really emptying the tank, like Jesse talks about, you realize that it's even bigger than that accomplishment. You realize that what they are about to experience is a transformation that leaves the mountain. And that is like the real beauty of all of it.
There you have it, My Everest, the latest episode of the 29029 podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about 29029 events or read more stories from an incredible community of individuals, you can head over to 29029everesting.com. That's 29029everesting.com. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain. Keep climbing. We'll meet you at the next summit.